Crossroads family, glad that you're here with us. One of the things that we try to do is series. There's so much thought that goes into a Bible study, but there's so many things, so many different directions you could go. And so we try to do a series. So maybe within 2, 3, 4 studies, we would be able to kind of cover everything that we feel like God's putting on our heart for that message. So we're glad that you're with us, and we want to welcome you to Commonism.
Hey, when guys, you're called normal, that means you're not considered a wacko. You're not considered a person that might walk into a school with a gun and start shooting people. They would consider that not normal. If you're normal, you're not considered an individual? You're not. Because I've always been called normal. I always feel like I'm an individual. But you got a good point. Because if you take another word that's synonymous with that and you put average in there, nobody wants to be average. If you're starting a baseball team, you wouldn't want average players. You want awesome players. If you're, Ricky said, if you got something, send it my way. Yeah. If you're a musician, you don't want to be an average musician. You want to be above average. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be looking at, well, let's just watch a video. Being common, being just like everyone else. That was just a fun way for us to look at how once you surround yourself with the exact same thing, you can't really tell a difference. The ladies' army that you saw, the Chinese Pink Army. Y'all know China's got like 1 billion soldiers. So when they do a parade, something you don't see in America, but you know, communist countries, we talked about this last night, when communist countries are hanging out, I don't know if they hang out, but anyway, they have these giant parades where their whole military comes in march, and they've got 1 billion soldiers. So you can imagine, I'm sure that they don't march 1 billion people, but all of them going together wearing the exact same thing, doing the exact same movements. That's why Janet Jackson was in there. Y'all missed out. I'm just going to tell you. That table right there knows. Did y'all ever see her in concert? I saw that concert, Rhythm Nation. Man, I was the whitest guy there. I said, go on, girl, Janet. So she was something else. But they were all wearing the exact same stuff, doing the exact same moves. You ever watch the lip sync thing? There's some guy that does Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation. It's awesome. But anyway, MC Hammer, he was too legit to quit. And if you didn't believe it, you could listen to that song. But they were all doing the exact same movements, wearing the exact same thing. And we find that, you know, even the country boy, yeah, they were all doing the exact same movements, wearing the same thing. We are in a society that wants average. They want the same. Y'all all know merit, right? I mean, you all... When I was in school, there was this guy named, we'll just call him Merritt, because that was his name. And you all know him. Now, he's probably got a different name in your school because it wouldn't be the same person, but he's that guy. Merritt was that guy. We grew up together. He's a year older than I am, but we grew up together, and one of the neatest things was having a relationship with him because he was that guy that when he walked into the room, everything just stopped and everybody goes, hey, there's Merritt. He was that guy. When we got older, and my sister started dating one of his brothers, and so we ended up spending more time together because they would take us places. And then we played ball together, and my father and his father coached together, and so we were good friends. And we got to a certain age, and I noticed that if I was around Merritt, everybody liked me. And so we're sitting at his house one night, and we had watched American Bandstand that day. Again, y'all don't know, y'all are there. So we watched American Bandstand, and there was this new trend that was just starting. The guys would have their hair cut, kind of parted down the middle, but kind of spiked. And then in the back, it got down below your collar, and you had little bitty curls right at the base. This was the beginning of what you have heard called the mullet. Now, I grew up in a household that my daddy said, I tell you what, boy, that hair touches that collar, we'll get you some lacy drawers, too. I took that as I couldn't grow hair that long. That's what I gathered from that. But fortunately, I'm kind of like Jaden. When my hair gets long, it gets afro, and I'm like, what's up? So that's kind of how my hair was. But we were sitting there with Merritt, and Merritt looked at his mother, and he said, Mom, I want hair like that. And she said, you want what? He said, I want hair like that, and he showed her. And she said, well, okay. And so she got up and went to the Piggly Wiggly. Where else do you go to get hair product? Now, Merritt was that guy that if you were going to play baseball, he was the best baseball player. He ended up signing a pro contract. So he was that guy. When we played football, nobody could tackle him because he was that guy. When he tried to play basketball, you couldn't touch him. He was awesome. If you thought you were going to run him down, he was faster than anybody else in the county. He was just that guy. Music, he'd pick up a guitar and just go to town. Everything that he did was just right. And so I'm sitting here, and he's telling me that he's going to get that haircut. It didn't have the name mullet then. I think they called it a bi-level or something like that. But it was what you call a mullet. And his mother went and came back with a permanent. Is that how you say it? The hair thing? Perm. She went and got a perm. And then she came and started, So she rolled his hair. And I'm sitting here looking at Merritt, that hit a baseball further than anybody I've ever seen, that could outrun a Jaguar. I mean, he is just that guy. The guy that I wanted to be like, because everything he did was cool. And he's sitting there with curlers in her hair. And then she squirted something on it. And it stunk. Oh my gosh, it was funky. Funky, funky. It's like going by a turnip patch that was rotten. It was nasty. Y'all don't know turnip patches. Come to my house. We got collards. So it was just awful. And I was sitting there looking at him thinking, what the crap are you doing, Merritt? But then there was a part of me that was like, well, Merritt's doing it. I want to do it. And I went home and said, hey, Mom, I want a permanent. She said, a permanent what? I said, you know, that thing you put in your hair? She said, why on God's green earth would you want one of them? Them are for women. Okay. Well, Merritt's got one. She said, yeah, whatever. So we go to school Monday, and I'm standing in the hallway, and Merritt comes walking in, and everybody in the hallway, teachers included, just go, and just watch him. And I'm like on the wall watching him too. Just going, because I thought, finally, Merritt is not the man. He finally has a flaw. And I was so excited. We got through with football practice, and I went home that day. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, when Merritt walked in, everybody was just kind of laughing at him. The next morning, I get to school, and the whole school looks just like Merritt. Everybody stunk like a permanent. It was funky, funky. Even the brothers had it. They took the Jerry curl and done hooked it up. So it was ridiculous. Merritt was that guy that everyone wanted to be like. And we live in a world where there are certain people that we gravitate towards because we want to be like them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There are people in your life that you associate with. Now, from birth to about 9 years old, you don't really care if you're different from everything else. It doesn't bother you at all. But even with our son, I've been watching him, and now some of the things he's interested in, I said, where did you come up with that? What was that, Gravity Falls? Some cartoon? I go in and I said, what is this? He says, Gravity Falls. It's awesome. I said, it's awesome. Well, I'll have to watch Awesome. And it's a cute cartoon, and I'm still like a kid. So we're sitting there watching. When it was over, I said, when did you start watching this? He said, about a month ago. And I said, where have you been watching? He said, well, sometimes, you know, I'm watching it here and I'm watching it there. And then he starts naming all the kids that he hangs out with that's their favorite show. And I went, huh. Because he don't want to watch Alaskan Bush People with me and Jessica. We're not going to let him watch NCIS because that could scar him for life. And can't watch the news because they're going to have something on there you got to explain. And I'm not ready to explain what they talk about on the news. So he has gotten to that age to where he wants to do what certain people do. There was a kid from this church that decided it was time to have longer hair. Barrett walks in and says, Mom, I want to let my hair grow. And Jessica's like, mm-mm. She said, you are not going to let your hair grow. But so-and-so is growing their hair long. And she said, okay, grow your hair long. And man, he got up the next morning. And it was, y'all know what Flock of Seagulls are? That was a band. And dude's hair like came down the middle like this. And they had wings that went back. It was wicked. He ran so far away. You can look that up. But Barry came out and his hair was just ghetto everywhere. And I said, son, what happened to you last night? He said, well, nothing. I went to sleep. I said, did you do a head spin? Were you break dancing? What's going on with your hair? He was like, oh, it's just getting long, Dad. It's all right. You got to start taking a shower every morning. Because he takes a shower at night, but now you're going to get one in the morning because you ain't going to school with ghetto hair. Because I'm going to drop you off and some teacher's going to go, That kid is just a piece of work. I tell you what. So you getting your hair did. And so every morning he was getting up and getting his hair did, but he don't know how to dry. So he gets out of the shower, and his clothes are soaking wet, and then his hair is just dripping. And I was like, son, dry your head. Well, try to do that. It's just my hair so long. So I get in there, and I shine his head up real quick and dry it for him. But I was like, son, you don't have to be what everyone else is. He said, but, Dad, I want to fit in. And I think we all want to fit in. We might want our individuality, but we don't want to be such an individual that no one ever speaks to us, no one ever hangs out with us. We want to be kind of what is common. How many of you young ladies have a pair of UGG boots? Okay. Do what?
Does off-brand count?
Yeah, off-brand counts. Because, I mean, that's my life is off-brand. Y'all all talking about going shopping at Walmart. I'm like, hey, we're going to thrift store. Come on. They got some awesome toothbrushes there, so it's great. You should go there. And underwear. I'm just kidding. So anyway, Ugg boots several years ago when they came out with the name, I can remember every person go, ugh. Because you would see them and every person would go, man, ain't no way I'd wear that. And then one person walked in at Crossroads with a pair on and everybody started wearing them. Any of y'all guys have Ugg boots? Do they do that for guys? Do they? Do they not? I don't know. I know you can look at me and probably figure I don't know much about fashion. But guys, how many of y'all got a pair of like Georgia work boots? Some of them work boots. Any kind of work boots. Because y'all work, right? Got a couple that work, but you ain't worked a day in your life, Junebug. What?
Does wakeboard boots count?
No, wakeboard boots don't count. Those boots that are, they ain't no laces on them. They like cowboy boots, but they work boots. And I never will forget, we talked about this before. Parker White had a pair, and Junie had a pair. And just about everybody in my room that year had a pair. And when they took them off, man, it was funky, smelling bad. And I realized then there was no way I could ever wear those shoes just because of the smell that came out of those boots. But that was the popular thing that everybody was gravitating to. When you drive by your high school and you see every boy there, somehow they convince their mom and daddy to buy them some big truck with big tires and one of them light bars and go, come home, man. But that's the popular thing. When I was in high school, the popular thing was to have a booming system. And so everybody had just bass rumbling. Your teeth would hurt when you get out of the car. That was the thing that everybody wanted. Everybody wants to be kind of accepted. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us gravitating towards that and wanting to be accepted. But the problem is when we try our best to be what everyone else is, we never come to an understanding of who we are. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read the whole Bible tonight. I'm completely joking. We're going to read a verse. I must say we'd be here longer than all night, yeah. So here's our verse, Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I highlighted the word created because I want us to focus on that word. That word explains something about God. Now, how many of you have ever created something? Okay. What did you use to create it with? Something that was already created?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, how many of you have ever created something out of something that was never created?
What?
Right now. You're all, Kenny's on drugs again. He's just wacky. But the thing is everything we go in and say that we make, we're using something else. I built my sister some kind of blanket box thingy. I didn't know what to call it. It was just made out of material from my parents' house, and I built it and stained it and gave it to her, and I was so proud of myself. And somebody said, man, you created a masterpiece. And I was like, my mom and daddy made that. And so, your mom and dad made it? And I was like, yeah, it was in their house. That was part of their walls, and I made it into this. But, I mean, mom and dad made it, and then I just kind of went back from there. And I was like, well, Buster Robinson's the one that built the house, so I guess he's the one that made it. Now, if somebody had to mill this wood, and then God created the tree, so God created it, in essence. God created mankind. Now, I want you to understand that when it says he created mankind, it doesn't say that he created a manufacturing plant that pumped out people. And God created Hyundai. And there's an assembly line where drill an arm on. Okay, I've got a foot. So, you know, it's not one of those things. God created. When someone creates, that means that they do everything. They make the small things that end up making the big things. God created mankind, man and woman alike. He said, you know what would be awesome? 206 bones. Bam. He gave you 206 bones. You know what would be awesome if we wrapped those in 700 muscles? Boom. You know what? They're going to have something to go to those muscles because there's got to be some fuel going to it. So we're going to give them 60,000 miles of veins in their body. And then we're going to wrap it in skin because it's really gross if we don't wrap it in skin. And we're going to put some hair on it for a little while for some folks, for a long time for some folks. But we're going to create people. And every person is created differently. That's one of the things that we've got to understand is that God has you individually for a reason. This summer, we're going to have identical twins coming Crossroads. And Georgia is still going, no, but it's coming. And the thing is if you go and hang out with them, y'all might be able to tell the difference right off the bat. We went out to eat one night, and I had the boys and Barrett with me, and out of nowhere, one of them started talking. I was like, now, which one is that? And then the next one started talking. I was like, which one is that? And then Barrett started talking. I was like, rrr. I was like, well, that's Barrett. I can understand that. But I'm sitting there. We're sitting there at Steak and Shake, because where else would you go with a bunch of kids? But we were hanging out at Steak and Shake, and they're sitting there eating their cheeseburgers and their fries and stuff, and I'm just sitting there staring at them going... And one of them looks up and goes, what is it, Brother Kenny? Got a real soft voice. I said, man, y'all look so much alike. And the other one went, well, yeah, we're twins. And Barrett's going, oh, gosh. Barrett's also at that age where he wants to be like everybody. He's embarrassed by his daddy, too. So I was just like, no, but I mean, seriously, man, y'all look so much alike. We were at the conference with our sixth graders, and Scott Dawson walks up and is talking to us. I said, hey, Scott, I want you to meet these folks. And he walks over and goes, hey, what's your name? Hey. I was like, yeah, they're twins. Scott was like, yeah, I got that, Kenny. I'm going to go over here. So I just kind of walked away. But the thing is once you get to know them, now they got different hairstyles. And Jessica said that one of them got a scar. Who got a scar? Matthew got a scar. Andrew got a scar. Does Andrew wear a watch? See, I still get it wrong. Jessica calls them Fred and Bob. One of them do what? Oh, I didn't know exactly what you said. I was like, one of them's an axe murderer. So, but once you're around them for a while, you can tell that they're different. Now, they are as identical as can be identical. I mean, they just like on the innards. I mean, you get their blood and it's blood. So they are so much alike, but they are also so completely different. God's created each person differently. And you're created differently for a reason. Because if everyone was exactly the same, how many of you would love to go to China and be in their military? Gosh, that sounds tempting, Kenny. Be one in a billion. All that you can be, as long as it's under what we say. They all look just alike. Every one of them looks just alike. There's no individuality. It's so common. But the thing is I notice that there's a lot of people, that's their desire, is to be just like everyone else, because it takes work to continue to be an individual. Because it's so much easier just to go with the flow. It's so much easier for you just to relax what you want and just be like everyone else. Just to be average. And I don't believe that there's an average person in this room. I think all of you are way above average. I mean, you're here at Crossroads, so obviously you're above average. Because you're like, Kenny's probably going to explode. We've got to see that. So you come to Crossroads, I believe that you are above average. But then at the same time, when you get away from Crossroads, are you still above average, or are you just blend into the crowd? And that's one of the most dangerous things about being average as a Christian. Now, for some of you that are here tonight, you might not be a Christian, and this doesn't make any sense to you, but God didn't create you to be just like everyone else. And He created you to be different for a reason, because He has a plan for you. And God has created you to be more than just here. He wants you here because you're His creation. When I got through with that box, I remember taking Jessica downstairs and go, look what I did. She's like, oh, you spilled stuff all over the floor. And I was like, yeah, but let's pretend that didn't happen. And look at this. And she was like, oh, it's still wet. And I was like, yeah, but let's pretend it's dry. She said, you spent 5 days building this? And I was like, yeah, but I can't read a tape measure, so this is good for me. And she's like, okay. And she walked away from it. And I just stayed there and stared at it going, that's the most amazing craftsmanship in the world. And Barry walks by and goes, wow. I tell you what, I'm going to brag to my friends about this one, Dad. Oh, you should have seen when he put that nail through his finger. Woo! It was awesome. My sister comes down. It's Christmas night. We have a scrimp bowl because that's what we do at Christmas because we're Cajun. Y'all might not know that. I guarantee. So we're having a scrimp bowl, and my family comes down, and my sister walks in and says, hey, before we start scrimping, I want you to see something. She said, okay. And I had that box thingy sitting in our living room, and I had blankets over it. And I said, I've got Mom and Daddy's house in my basement. every piece of wood that didn't just completely fall apart is in my basement, and I'm going to finish my basement in it. And she was like, yeah, I know, Kenny. We talked about that. That's why I gave it to you. I said, yeah, no. But I wanted you to have something. And I pulled that blanket off, and she went, ah. And she just looked at me, and I said, yeah, it's pretty awesome, isn't it? And she just started crying. I was like, no, crap, is it that bad? And she's crying. I said, hey, this is from the kitchen. And I said, this part back here is from your bedroom. And this is from my bedroom over here. This is Mom and Daddy's wall right here. And this is that little partition wall that went between the dining room and the living room. You've got Mom and Daddy's house right here. And she's bawling her eyes out. And I'm trying to be macho man because I'm like, yeah, I built this. And I'm like, and I'm crying. And Miss Carla's crying. She's like, oh. If you've ever been around my mother-in-law, that's her thing. She goes, oh. And she's crying, and Mr. Mike's rolling his eyes, you know, loading his gun or whatever. And my brother-in-law is going, I ain't taking no more of that crap up to my house. We got half of their house in my house. And I was like, just take this one more thing. I was so proud of what I created. And God has created you. And it's not a mistake that He's made you. And folks, you'll have people tell you that you were a mistake. You have people to tell you that the things that you've done is so bad that there's nothing that could ever make you good except for God. Because when God created you, He didn't make a mistake. He's not surprised by any decision that you make. And He loves you so much that He gave His Son for you. And we've talked about this before. My son is the second most precious thing in my life. That pretty girl over there is number one. And he's number two. And I would do anything in the world for him. And I'll be honest with you, I love Crossroads right up under my family. This is an important thing to me. I've given my life to ministering to students. But you can't have my son. I don't care what's going on. If you came to me and said, Kenny, man, I'm going to die if I don't have your son's heart. Man, I will do an awesome funeral for you. It's going to be fun. I put the fun in funeral, man. We're going to have a good time. But Kenny, if I don't have your son's heart, I'm going to die. Bruh, you're going to die because you ain't getting my boy. And God said, I love you so much, but you can't be with me because there's sin in your life. And all have sinned. Something else is common. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, we can't be with God because God is holy. And God says, I have got to have you in my life. But the only way that can happen is there's got to be a price paid for your sin. And it's going to be my son. He's not going to jail. He's not going to serve community service. He ain't picking up garbage on the side of the road. He's going to die so you can be with me. I still don't get it. I've been a Christian for years now. I've been doing youth ministry for over 25 years. I still can't wrap my mind around that. The fact that God loved me so much that He gave His Son for me. He gave His Son for creation. Not a tree, not a mountain, but for the only one that has a soul. And that's human. That's mankind. That's women. God has created you for something amazing. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The pattern of this world. This was our verse back in January when we started our transformation. Transform was our theme. And we're looking at that word, and it says that the pattern of the world. One of the biggest problems I see in today's church, and when I say today's church, understand I'm not talking about West End Baptists. I'm talking about people that call themselves Christians. That is the church. The biggest problem I see in people that call themselves Christians is they will say it, but they won't live it. And it breaks my heart when I see people proclaiming that they're a Christian and they're not. They're not living a life that supports what they say. I've been told, I've never sat down with an atheist and asked them, but I've heard that the number one reason for atheism in America is because there are people walking around proclaiming to be Christians, but then they act just like everyone else. God created you to be different. There's supposed to be something different about you, and it's not that you're better than anyone else, it's that God is in you. You may have never asked somebody if they're a Christian. You may have never sat down and tried to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you here have. But I've been told by many, and I would say it for myself too, one of the biggest reasons I struggle with witnessing to people is because I'm not any different from them. There's so much junk in my life that they couldn't look at me and go, man, you're right. Being a Christian is awesome because of your life. God's created you to be a shining light to the world. Not to be common just like everyone else, but to be different. Not so you can pat yourself on the back and go, man, I'm different from everybody, but because they can see God living through your life. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's got to be a new mindset if we're going to be different. One of the most awesome things is when we go somewhere as Crossroads. And this is not an infomercial for Crossroads. Justin Caton did that when he announced that they were pregnant. This is just the truth. Every time we go somewhere with Crossroads, I have adults from other groups come up and go, there's something different about those students. And it's definitely not me. People see something in you. That's when we're as a group. When you're individuals, do people still see something awesome in you? When you're retweeting what somebody else says, can people see Jesus in that? When you're Snapchatting or whatever, could people see Jesus in you there? When you're sitting at the lunch table across from somebody and you're sharing a story about someone else, you're gossiping, or maybe you're involved in one of the dirty jokes, can people see Jesus in you there? And the question's always been asked, if someone was to put you on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? There should be no question that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Because if you truly believe in God, it's going to be evident in your life. This month, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at how to be set apart, how to not be common. Communism, that's the word we're using. Jessica, is that what the show was called the other night? Was it communism or communism?
Might have been communism, but I think it's communism.
We were watching Girl Meets World. And so we're watching, and they were talking about communism, and they talked about how everyone was the same and everyone didn't have their individual rights and things like that. And it just kind of got burning in my mind that there's too many of us that are just like everyone else. God's called us to be set apart. You, followers of Jesus, you are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. He set you apart for a reason. And you can come here and hang out and talk during praise and worship and cut up during the message and all that stuff. But when you're here, God's got a message for you that can change eternity for someone. Don't leave it laying on the table. Leave this place changed. God's got a plan for you, and it's not to be just like everyone else. Let's pray. Father, I thank